Well, good evening, and welcome here to Bethesda Church's Christmas Eve worship gathering for 2018. We are very glad that you are here, and we hope that our gathering together this evening is a blessing both to you and to your family as well. As we gather together, and as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in that little town of Bethlehem, He being the eternal Son of God, Savior of the world. This is one of our most anticipated and meaningful worship gatherings of the year, also the shortest. And so we seek to do in 1 hour or less as meaningful a worship and as meaningful a time in the Word as we possibly can. We have people from many different nations and cultures and ethnicities, even different religions here who come to find out about this Christ child. And so it's the most diverse gathering that we have in the year. For me, it's also one of the most difficult to preach because of the anticipation and the meaning, because of the audience diversity, and especially because of the brevity. It's not all that easy to speak to such a diverse audience meaningfully and biblically in 20 minutes or less. But we'll give it a go. And before we do that, let's pray together for just a moment. Lord, I pray that you would come and open our minds and our hearts, open our eyes and our ears to hear that Jesus Christ has come for us, that he has come because your grace and your mercy is your intention toward us. Lord, I pray that as we gather here, that we will do so in the name of Jesus, by the Spirit of Christ, for the purpose of worshiping the one true and living God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. And we celebrate on this night in particular that God wanted to be with us and was determined to be with us and, in fact, did come to be with us as one of us. Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us yet another opportunity to gather in your name, to speak in your name, to hear in your name, to believe on your name, and to be your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, we call the 4 Sundays before Christmas the 4 Sundays of Advent. And Advent is a word that comes from the Latin language, the word adventus, which means arrival or appearance. So what is the arrival or the appearance for which we wait? Well, first we need to understand that the first period of waiting was done by God's chosen people, Israel. Together, they waited for many hundreds, even thousands of years for the arrival of the Messiah, or what the New Testament calls the Christ, God's anointed one, whom God himself had promised would represent him in their midst, would take away their sins, and would deliver them into everlasting peace and righteousness. 2 passages from the prophet Isaiah, written 800 years before Jesus was born, well represent the waiting done by God's people Israel and their hope for deliverance. The first is Isaiah 7, verse 14. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Perhaps this would be a good time to mention now our message title, which comes directly from this truth, which is God with us in the person of Jesus Christ. So the big idea of Christmas is that God, in the person of Jesus Christ, has come to be with us, indeed to be one of us. The next passage from Isaiah 9 tells us about why God came to be with us, to be one of us. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. We don't really get that message from many of the various Christmas stories out there in the world and media today, do we? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Home Alone, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Love Actually, The Miracle on 34th Street, even Elf, and yes, It's a Wonderful Life. I'm not saying that any or all of these are bad. In fact, I like several of them, and you may know over the years that It's a Wonderful Life is my favorite movie of all time. But I'm saying they don't really tell the real, the true, the wonderful story of Christmas that we read in the Bible. The arrival or appearance of God's anointed one for his people Israel is the real, true story of Christmas. But a surprising, unexpected truth became increasingly clear over time, but from very early on in the real Christmas story. God's Messiah wouldn't be for Israel only. He came for us all. One of the first clear indicators that God's Messiah would come in fulfillment of his promise to his people Israel, and he would be Christ and Lord for all the people everywhere, also, he came through God's prophet Isaiah, or the prophecy came through God's prophet Isaiah from chapter 49. And now, the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. I want us to notice in this verse, this is verse 5 of Isaiah chapter 49, I want us to notice here that the Lord himself, Yahweh, the Lord, if you see the capital letters there, L-O-R-D, that is the personal name of God who has revealed himself first to Moses and then throughout the Old Testament, Yahweh says, he who formed me. Well, who was him who formed him? It was God. So this is God speaking to God about God. Do you see that? And now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, meant now Yahweh is speaking, for I am honored in the eyes of Yahweh, and my God has become my strength. The Lord himself is speaking about his own incarnation, his own coming into fleshly being at some point in the future as if it has already occurred. And he is speaking about the Father who would bring him into being. Do you see that? And now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant. My God has become my strength. The very next verse, my God says, it actually says he, but referring back to my God who is my strength, my God says, it is too light a thing that you, speaking now here back to the Lord, you should be my servant to rise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Here we see that the salvation that Messiah will bring will be for all the nations, not for Israel only, but for all the nations, all the people, even to the end of the earth. Do you remember the Great Commission? All power and authority has been given unto me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of what? Of all the nations. And then he ends, and lo, I will be with you to the ends of the earth. 800 years before Jesus came, these very words were prophesied. These very acts were prophesied by Isaiah. Do you see that? Well, the next verse, verse 7, the Lord still speaking about the Lord, to the Lord, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One. Those are two different persons. The Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One. To one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes and they shall prostrate themselves. Because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Here we see a prophecy of Messiah's passion, his suffering by the providence and provision of the one true and living God. The Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers. And why? Because of the Lord, who is faithful. The Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Then 800 years later, yes, in Bethlehem, and the fulfillment of these prophecies and more, we see, we read, we hear the announcement of Messiah's birth, and it confirms these prophecies in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2 and verse 10, and the angel said to the shepherds, it actually says to them, but it's referring back to the shepherds, and the angel said to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news, euangelion, the gospel of great joy that will be for, check it out, all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He doesn't stop there. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased. A remarkable thing happened when Jesus' human parents, Joseph and Mary, took him just a few days later as a baby to the temple to fulfill the requirements of God's law. As they entered the temple, they passed by a righteous old man, Simeon was his name, and he took the baby Jesus into his arms and he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Friends, add up all these references and more from the Bible about God's Messiah His anointed one, the Holy One of Israel? Well, they lead us to conclude that Jesus, whose birth we celebrate this evening, is God's Messiah, Christ the Lord. We can also clearly see that his arrival or his appearance that we celebrate tonight has already happened. In a sense, and historically, the waiting for Messiah, the waiting for Christ the Lord, in the city of Bethlehem on that first Christmas as a human baby born to the Virgin Mary, the waiting is over. Indeed, at this point in history and in time, all we need to know, all we need to do in order to be made right with God, to be saved from our sins, and to be at peace with God, at peace with ourselves, and at peace with others in the world, has already been accomplished in the person of Jesus Christ. That's an amazing statement. And it's all straight from the Bible. The true story of Christmas is that God's promised Messiah for his people Israel arrived in the person of Jesus Christ. But we, you and I, whoever we are, and from wherever we've come, we can enter the true and ongoing story of Christmas because Jesus Christ is for all people. We all can access this true story of Christmas. We all can enter into this true story of Christmas. We all can become a part of this true story of Christmas, and all of us in the same way, and that is by faith. This everlasting story of God's deliverance of his chosen people, all of his chosen people, Jew and Gentile alike, his deliverance of us from our sins by faith, faith in the one true and living God, faith in the one he sent, faith in his grace and mercy. The Bible teaches us that we have saving faith brought by the Holy Spirit when we've repented of our sins and believed in Jesus Christ, his birth, his righteous and sinless life, his death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and his resurrection to make us right with God. This Christmas season, let's make this a happy Christmas, as they say in England, for all and throughout eternity, by humbly and truly worshiping the Christ child who came for us all. And he didn't just come randomly. He came purposefully. And he went from the cradle in Bethlehem through a righteous and sinless life, fulfilling all of God's requirements to offer himself on the cross as the perfect and perfectly satisfactory sacrifice, watch this now, for the sins of the whole world. Here's the good news. You are part of the whole world. And the access to this forgiveness of sins and this eternal life is by faith and by faith alone. Let's make this a happy Christmas, that we recognize and receive the one who came to save us all by God's grace through faith. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we come before you this Christmas Eve evening needy. All of us. Some, perhaps even most of us, have gone all over the world seeking what we need in places we will never get it. Some of us have spent perhaps our whole lives confusing what we want with what we need and going after consuming whatever we want. Lord, we need you. You are our most basic need, our most fundamental need in life and eternity. This is not all there is. Eternity awaits. And I pray, Lord, that we will each of us recognize this on this Christmas Eve as we celebrate the birth of the one who came to save us all. And that we will respond in faith to this good news declared by the angels. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together here in the name of Jesus. I pray your word and your spirit will do their work in each one of us, even tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen.